Jesus said, the kingdom of God is made up of righteousness, peace, and joy. That's why where the people of God is present, there should be a joy that's there because God is there.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm Joshua Hollick, your host, here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church. And Pastor Mark, we're excited to start this brand new series, AD, the Book of Acts. This is the story of what happened after Jesus left this mission to the people of God. And what a powerful, powerful part of the scriptures.
You know, Joshua, I've always loved the Book of Acts because it is really the story of a people. Now that they have the gospel, they have the resurrected Jesus. Now, what do we do with it? It's really the beginning of the story of the early church. And it's a story full of miracles, of people wrestling with the gospel, of the church being formed, of leaders being raised. And so it really is our story. And there's so much to learn from these passages.
Yeah, it's our roots. It's where we look back to say, what is the church really supposed to look like? Jesus gave us this message, and now it's living out in a group of people. And you're first message here, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, you've called it life-changing people. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, you know, you read the beginning of the book of Acts, and you start to realize that God is forming a people to change the world. And that's who we are. We are the church. And so if you read the first chapter of the book of Acts, you're going to discover that there's a message that has power to change. There's power that comes from the Holy Spirit, and there's a mission that he's called us on. So a lot of people live their lives somewhat purposeless. Even the church, Joshua, sometimes becomes this place where people attend for a religious experience. But really, we are a people with a message. We are a people with divine power, and we are a people called to a mission that stretches us beyond anything that we could imagine. And that's what the church really is, a movement of people fulfilling the mission of Jesus.
What an exciting thought. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Friends, as you listen to this, we encourage you to re-envision God's heart and dream for what the church really is. This is Life-Changing People from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10.
For those of you that are not that familiar with your Bibles, the New Testament, you have the four Gospels first, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you go into Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are pretty much the story of Jesus leading up to his death, burial, and resurrection, and they're written by more or less the same period of time, focused on the same stories, but from a little different perspective, each of the four apostles that wrote them. The book of Acts, however, is the continuation of the story, what happens after the resurrection. It was written by a doctor, Dr. Luke. He wrote the book of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And so I want to talk to you today about what it means to be life-changing people, because I believe that Jesus Christ rose so that you and I could not only experience change, but that we could be a part of the change that happens throughout our world. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit of the story. We're going to jump into what it means to be life-changing people. I want you to follow with me because this is really, 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 really going to be powerful as you understand your mission and the power and the message to which Jesus has called us all. When Jesus Christ rose on the third day, he shocked his disciples, but he shocked the world. Some people thought that it was all over after they saw him crucified. But on the third day, the Son of Man rose again. When he rose again, he proved to the world that the death could not hold him down. When he rose again, he appeared, by the way, to many of his disciples. There's multiple occasions in which Jesus appeared to people, and it wasn't a ghost that appeared to him. It was a physical man that appeared, the post-resurrected Jesus. It tells us that he appeared to over 500 people, more than likely. At least 400, but between 400 to 500 people, he appeared to them. They saw him, they touched him, they talked to him. So his resurrection was undeniable. Some people have tried to disprove the resurrection of Jesus, like, no, it was a myth, and maybe some people invented it. it was just kind of a fabrication of the Jewish people. They wanted him to raise from the dead. But there was at least 500 people that witnessed Jesus, saw him, talked to him, hugged him, touched him, ate with him. 500. And not only did those 500 people see and witness and experience Jesus, but we also learn from this, we also follow the story, and not only did they see him, but many of them were willing to die because of the message that they had experienced. Now, if you're trying to fabricate something, you don't die for a lie. In fact, some of the apostles, they tell us, had their heads chopped off, were crucified upside down, were boiled alive. If it was a lie, you back out of it and say, no, I'm not going to go this far. But they gave their lives because they knew, I've seen him, I've touched him, I've held him. He is Jesus the Messiah. I saw him do miracles. I saw him die. And I saw that dead Jesus that had a spear in his side that was in the grave for 3 days. I saw him resurrect. He is a living Jesus. You go to the graves of many founders of religions and you will find their bones. There's other religious groups that have started out and their founders have a cemetery and their bones are there. Not with Jesus. I've been to the tomb. It's empty. Jesus has risen. Yeah. Now, Jesus left, the Bible tells us, but he left for a purpose. This is where it gets interesting. So Jesus was here on earth for about 33 years. He died, was in the grave 3 days. He resurrected. He appeared to his disciples. He stayed on earth for about 40 days, just a little bit over a month. He had some house cleaning stuff to do. He had some instructions that he wanted to leave before he left. And the Bible tells us that for 40 days, he talked to his disciples, and we're going to get into that in just a moment, what he talked to them about. But he explained to them the kingdom of God. And then, right before he was about to leave, Matthew 28, 19, and 20 tells us that he looked at his disciples and he said to them, go ye therefore, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority, that means power, reign, dominion. And then he says, because it has been given to me, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I want you to understand this. Because Jesus has all authority and power, even over death itself, because he has dominion and power, he looks at his disciples, and by the way, his disciples were not just 12. There were 70 and 120. And guess what? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're also called a disciple. If you're a follower of Jesus, tell the person beside you, I'm a disciple. I don't wear sandals and long robes, but I'm a disciple. Maybe you do wear sandals and long robes. I don't know. And then he said, I want you to go and make the other disciples of whom? Of all nations. And here's what I want you to do, Jesus says to his disciples. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the world. So Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you abandoned. I'm leaving you with a purpose, with a mission, a call, and a power. And for the last 2,000 years, we, the disciples of 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 Jesus, we continue on with the mission, the message, the vision, and the power that was given to the original disciples. And I don't want you to miss this, because I talk to a lot of people that almost have this idea that being a follower of Jesus means you go to church. No. Church is where we gather to hear, to worship, to be inspired. But we're not just pew sitters. We are people on a mission. There's a lot of men that like, I don't want to be a Christian. You know, you got to sit in church and sing like karaoke songs. And you know, I don't get it. No. You haven't gotten it. Because to be a follower of Christ means to be a person on a mission with a drive, a purpose, and a power to accomplish that mission. We are nothing less than world changers. That's what Jesus has called us to. And so I want to describe to you a little bit of what that means. And that's why our goal here is not just to have nice services. Our goal is to make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. And I want to focus on a couple of verses in the book of Acts. I just have a little bit of time here, but we're going to cover some territory. I want you to understand that Jesus is preparing a people to change the world through these people. And these are life-changing people that have a message, a power, and a mission. Let's look at the message first of all. So write this down if you're taking notes. If you're a life-changing person, we are people with a life-changing message. So Luke is writing the book of Acts. That covers about 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus. By the way, if you read through the book of Acts, you will begin to see the story of the post-resurrection unfold in the stories of the book of Acts. It's a powerful story. People are getting put in jail. People are getting stoned, like stoned with stones. People are traveling. There's stories of fighting, snake bites, starting churches, visions, dreams, persecution, being put in jail, miraculous conversions, visions from on high. I mean, it is a powerful, powerful story. It's a story of the church. And so, as Jesus is preparing these people, which is his church, he lets them know, first of all, that they have a life-changing mission. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, it's Luke talking to Theophilus. He's writing to a guy describing the events of the church. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Life-Changing People, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called AD, the Book of Acts. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message and give you some information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the Book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Life-Changing People.
So I want you to see a couple of things here. That Jesus gave convincing proof that he was alive. He selected a group of people and he said, I'm preparing you for the mission that I've called you to. Now, I want you to understand this, that he stayed with his disciples for 40 days after he'd resurrected in order to talk to them about the kingdom of God. See, our message that we preach, that we as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ preach, is a message of the kingdom. And I want to explain that to you because there's a lot of, when I say the kingdom, some of you may just not have any idea exactly what that means, but it was important enough for Jesus to talk about the kingdom for 40 days. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, Jesus taught us to pray. Some of you, when you were very small, learned this prayer. Some of you, since you were 4 years old and since you could talk, you've been praying a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, but you don't really always understand what you're praying. Jesus said, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven. The first thing he tells us to pray is, come on, you know it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This isn't just a generic prayer. This is Jesus telling us to pray for the coming of the kingdom of God. You pray it every time you pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom of God? Has the kingdom of God come? Is the kingdom of God coming? It's part of the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, but how do we know if the kingdom of God is here or if the kingdom of God hasn't come? In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, he says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women." Philip preached about the kingdom of God and people got baptized. You see, the kingdom of God, when you preach about the kingdom of God is about the rule and reign of Christ. Now, I could get in a whole long theological explanation of the kingdom of God, but let me just summarize it for you. There is a kingdom that is coming, but there's a kingdom that is here already. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." The kingdom of God came to earth when Jesus came and began to do the works of the king, the rule and reign of Christ. Jesus said, "When you see demons cast out by my finger, the kingdom of God is among you." There is a kingdom that's coming. We don't live in that kingdom yet, because that kingdom will be a perfect place. Justice, peace, no suffering, no tears. It's where God rules in a perfect way in his kingdom. We are approaching that kingdom. One day that kingdom, we will step into that kingdom, the perfect rule and reign of Christ. But now we don't live in a perfect world. How many of you know that? But we live in a place where the kingdom of God is already manifest in a spiritual way. So the kingdom of God is among us. What is it? It's a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. Every time someone comes to Christ, receives the Lord, and gets baptized, you know what the Bible says? You've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. There's a kingdom advance that happens. When Jesus was talking about John the Baptizer, he says the kingdom of God, he talked about the kingdom of God moving forcefully, that it suffers violence and the violent take it by force, that there's a clash of a kingdom. There's a spiritual realm that's dark and a spiritual realm that's light. We are carriers of the kingdom of God inside of us. Every time God rules, we carry it. When a husband steps up to let Jesus Christ be Lord of their life and starts loving his wife and raising their children, he has brought the kingdom of God to his household. When someone hears the good news of Jesus Christ and bows their knee and says, "Yes, I submit my life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords," they have just brought the kingdom of God to their life. Now, the kingdom of darkness is out here. Violence, greed, violations, bigotry exist in our world. There's deep darkness that exists in our world, but there's also the kingdom of God that exists in our world. The church, we the people, are carriers of the kingdom of God. Wherever we go, we carry the presence of God. When you come to Christ, you enter into the kingdom of God by surrendering yourself to him and saying, "Now you are Lord of my life, King of my life. I no longer operate by the way I used to live. Now my life belongs to you, me, to you, God. I run my life according to your ways." You become a part of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a culture. Do you know that when you start living kingdom culture, you're going to clash with the culture that's around you that's not kingdom culture? You start living for Jesus, and the culture of darkness will clash with the culture of light. You're going to talk different, walk different, think different, believe different. The world will not fully understand who you are. Like this brother said, "I thought all Christians were weird." You know why? Because Christians walk in kingdom of God culture. And when you're in darkness, you look at the light and you say, "I don't understand the light. It's strange. Why would someone go to church and read a Bible when they could sleep in and watch the Bears in the afternoon? Seriously." It's kingdom of God. We are the carriers of the kingdom of God, and Jesus explained the kingdom of God to them. So I want you to understand that you're carriers of the kingdom of God. So you have a message, and the message is this. If you want to become a part of the kingdom, you must go through the sacrifice of the king who died on a cross and shed his blood for you. And those people that repent and believe and are baptized are forgiven of their sins and receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the moment you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you become a carrier of God himself. You become a carrier of the kingdom of God inside of you. Your life now belongs to God. And where you go, you take the presence of God. And where you go, you take the kingdom of God. And now you begin to spread the power of the kingdom of God wherever you go. That's the message of the kingdom. There are people here that you're in the kingdom or not of the kingdom. You can come to church and not be a part of the kingdom. Jesus said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will see the kingdom of heaven. But some people talk about God but have never submitted their lives to God. You become a part of the kingdom when you yield yourself to the king and you say, I no longer rule my life. God rules my life. And I operate my life by the rules of the king now. And I become a part of the kingdom of light that is spreading against the kingdom of darkness. I'm talking about what it means to be life-changing people. So that's the message. The message of the kingdom, we are carriers of that message. Secondly, I want you to understand this. Not only are we carriers of the message of the kingdom, but we are life-changing people. Life-changing people have the power of the kingdom as well. Notice what Jesus, what it tells us here in the book of Acts. It says, on one occasion while they were eating, this is in verse 4, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak of. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with what? With the Holy Spirit. So when he met together, they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now this is the second thing. Not only do we have a message, the message is that there's a king and you must submit yourself to the king and start living under the authority of that king, the King Jesus, and we carry the message of the kingdom wherever we go. When I look at the church, by the way, I look at the church as a place, as an outpost of the kingdom of God. Like we're here at 51st and Keeler. We gather together in this place, and I expect that because we're people of the kingdom, that the cultural values of the kingdom start spreading to our neighborhood. What is that? Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the culture. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is made up of righteousness, peace, and joy. That's why where the people of God is present, there should be a joy that's there because God is there. We should be fighting for peace on our streets because God is here. And righteousness has to do with justice. That's why we don't just gather in an auditorium and talk about God, but we spread the values of the kingdom outside of this auditorium because we are carriers of the kingdom of God. Is anybody with me today? That means if there's violence in the neighborhood, it is our issue because the culture of the kingdom of God is peace. That means that there's friction out there. It is our issue. We don't say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with us. We're just religious people. Are you kidding me? What happens in our community is our issue because we are people of the kingdom of God and we bring the culture of the kingdom of God where we live. That's why I'm not just saying that the church of God is going to lead people to Christ. I want to help change the culture of Chicago and the neighborhoods in which we live, bring the kingdom of God values to the communities that we live. That's the power of the kingdom of God.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called AD, the Book of Acts, and tonight was the first half of his message called Life-Changing People. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow as we continue on with our message called Life-Changing People. Have a great night, and God bless.